Okay, we have Lynn Buchanan on the line. A Problem Solutions Innovation is the name of his company out in Albuquerque. It's easy for me to say. Anyway, out of New Mexico. And we want to talk about Ingo Swann.
Yeah.
Kind of the father of remote viewing. Lynn, how are you?
Okay, how about you, Jerry?
Okay. If I remember correctly, weren't you involved with Ingo in the Army?
Oh, yeah. Ingo's a good friend, yeah.
Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Okay, well, Ingo was an artist and was also working at the United Nations, and he got involved with the Society for Psychic Research, and he sort of developed a way to make it possible to bring out anybody's ability. You know, everybody says, "Oh, everybody's got psychic ability." Well, you know, why don't you see it? I mean, why don't they use it? And he started developing this method, and of course, the military had wanted. Well, the military had had found out that the Russians were using psychic spies successfully to get our classified information back in the late 50s. And, you know, that's where the McCarthy hearings were all in a panic about who's our spies. They couldn't find out who the spies were. Well, the spies were over in Russia, never came over here, and they were spying on us psychically. So when Ingo found out that you could teach this to anybody and start developing the technique, the military didn't want to mess with psychics because of the way our nation is and our politics are and all that. And so they got really interested in this method that Ingo was doing. And they had it researched out at Stanford Research Institute out in California. And it worked. And so then they formed a unit where we were using the Ingo Swann method to spy right back on them, you know.
What kind of guy was Ingo Swann? Was he all business or?
Ingo was one of the most lovable old curmudgeons you'd ever want to meet. I mean, just raspy as he could be. He didn't take anything off of anybody. And I mean, you know, you say something wrong, he'd just nail you to the wall. And yet he was one of the most genuine, one of the most fascinating people I've ever met, and was, you know, on our friendship, he was just as nice and gentle as could be. And but I mean, he didn't take anything off anybody, and he let you know right exactly where you stood at all minute, you know, every minute. He is a genius. You know, he was a fantastic artist.
He liked to think of himself as a little more than a psychic. I don't think he really cared for that term.
Yeah, and that's true. And the fact is, he was, because he was both intuitive psychic, but he was also artistic, and he was also a very scientifically organized person. And, you know, keeps data, keep records. And most of the psychics, when you ask them what they've done, they'll give you an anecdotal story. And Ingo said, not good enough. You've got to have scientific data. You've got to have scientific proof. And so, you know, we teach the Ingo Swann methodology. We keep a database on every viewer to find out what their strengths and weaknesses are, and he turned it into a science. And so he was a whole lot more than just a psychic.
And You mentioned he was quite the artist, and actually he could get pictures of what he was seeing for remote viewing. I guess that was a big asset.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Uh-huh. And, you know, just one of the finest people I think I've ever met, just genuine as could be. I mean, no nice to be nice and no political niceness and all that. Just genuine.
Now, when you met him and you were, I guess, under training with him, he was a consultant or something?
I met him up in New York for the first time, and he had just lost his contract with the military, and so I didn't get the training. I came into the unit on a Monday, and he had lost his contract with the military the Friday before that. And so I got my training from his trainees who were already in the unit. But I kept in touch with Ingo, and we stayed friends for a very long time, well, until his death, you know.
And I guess, really, looking at your career, Lynn, back over the days, Ingo Swann had quite an effect on you.
Oh, absolutely. Changed my life. I mean, absolutely. The discoveries that he made and the things that I learned from him and from those that he had taught the remote viewing to, it was total, absolute life changer.
Now, we don't have a lot of time on this show, but we're going to have you back here pretty soon. Because I always find you as a fascinating fellow, and you're always working on something.
Oh, yeah.
What's the latest, I guess, the Aztec thing? You finished that, right, as far as...
Well, I didn't finish it, but I have been keeping up with that. But the latest non-remote viewing thing I'm doing is we're building a spaceship.
Yeah, tell me about that.
The Delta Clipper was the first space shuttle, and it was basically privately made, and it worked like a charm. And NASA got a hold of it, wrecked it, and then they went into their big shuttle program, you know. But the thing had been wrecked 17, 18 years ago. And so now then we're getting the pieces and putting them back together to rebuild it. And it's going to go into a museum. We're not going to try to fly it. But it's a piece of space history that almost nobody knows about. And so we're putting the thing back together and getting it ready for the public to see.
Yeah, how'd you come across that? You're out there by White Sands Missile Range.
Yeah, uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. So when you keep me, have you found a location for it yet for the museum, or are you looking around, or what?
Well, there's New Mexico Museum of Space History is right here in Alamogordo. And so it'll be on the museum grounds, yeah.
Okay, now Ingo Swann, back to him for a minute.
Yeah.
Since this is a tribute to him.
Yeah,
how did he feel about extraterrestrials, you know, space and UFOs?
He had a book out called Penetration, and it describes his encounters with the extraterrestrials. And, you know, in this field, in the military unit, there were about six of us who have had abductions experiences and meeting experiences. And I had a beyond top secret clearance back when the military was just getting computers, you know, desktop computers. And so they didn't have anybody to program them. And so I was pulled into all these black projects to do the specialty programming for the computers, and met a few. And, you know, it's they're there. And Ingo knew they were there. He met them. And and just basically accepted them. I mean, you know, it's like you can't be astounded forever. I mean, once you accept it, then it becomes the norm.
And Lynn Buchanan, we don't have a lot more time. I'm going to have to let you go, but I appreciate you coming on talking about Ingo Swann. One final question. Did he see things the way you do in remote viewing, or is there more than one way to sense these things?
It kind of blurred out there for a minute.
Yeah.
Did you ask if there's more than one way to do remote viewing?
Yeah.
Or? Well, there is several ways. There are several ways to do remote viewing. What he did was he created a science on it, and over the years, we went ahead and developed that science. And there are a lot of people now who are making up their own things and calling them remote viewing, and they're not, because they're not a science. And the science of controlled remote viewing is pretty much standalone, and it can be taught to anybody. And you'll find that most people who are now saying they're remote viewers are calling themselves crystal ball remote viewers and palm remote viewers, you know, and it's the same thing, but there's no science to it.
Okay, well, we'll have to leave it there. Thanks very much, Lynn, for being on. Back in a moment to talk more about Ingo Swann. You got any final comments?
Yeah, we have lost one of the geniuses of the human race in losing Ingo, and it really is a humongous loss for the human race, and you know, I just can't say enough in his memory.
We'll leave it at that. Thanks very much, Lynn.
Okay, thank you.